1894-5.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
3106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. It will cost you 30 cent. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. I don't know about you, but in a world full of strife and various threats and false equivalencies and lies, it's always comforting to know that there's David Carey, who joins us once again for our parenting slot. Afternoon, David.
Sean, your kind words wash over me like a cleansing and soothing wave.
Okay, now we're in a kind of a quasi-gay situation, so we better move on very quickly. Right, first question is this. My 13-year-old and my husband do not get on. They have arguments about everything from chores around the house to her social life to his inability to understand her, as she puts it. They even give out about how each other eat. She's too messy, apparently, and he's a loud chewer. If I'm away, the two of them have to fend for themselves. I know I'll come home to the two of them not talking. I tell him he is the parent here and he needs to stop letting it escalate to shouting matches. I have told both of them I'm no longer refereeing their relationship, and they need to have learn to get on. Are there things I could do to help them? It's been like this for about 8 months. He calls her ungrateful and selfish. I call her a teenager and that he needs to get used to it. Am I wrong?
Oh, for God's sakes, Dad. Will you grow up? Is there any father who's parented a teenage daughter who hasn't recognized that during those years there is a lot of strife and dissension and massive amounts of drama? Massive amounts.
Yeah.
And you don't rise to the bait. This business of name-calling is not to be allowed. Ungrateful and selfish. Where do you go from there? That's finger-pointing. That's accusation. Of course, her defenses immediately raise up. In addition to which, it's a horrible wound.
Yeah.
To have one of the people you depend most on in life call you names and make a very unkind accusations against you. She's a 13-year-old girl. All kinds of metabolic changes, mood swings are to be expected, drama is to be expected, and if you constantly rise to the bait, you run the risk of something very serious happening. Injure the only single thing you'll ever have left with your child, the relationship.
Yeah.
Long after they've left the messy room, long after they're living under your family roof, what we have left is a loving, decent and kind relationship, parent to child. If you injure that, you've lost everything. Some of these things aren't worth fighting over. Her sloppy eating or his noisy chewing just aren't worth it.
Yeah, it sounds like they irritate each other, but it's almost like he's descended to her level.
Exactly. You wonder who the 13-year-old is.
Well,
here.
Yes, yeah.
And Mom, I think you're doing it right. Step out of this and say, you two work it out. This is time for the magic sentence. I'm sure
a man of your age,
husband, yes, and a daughter your age can learn to get along together without constantly fighting and hurting each other's feelings. To be honest, most dads and daughters have already learned how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you should actually say that, Mom, and then step out of it. And let's see if he can raise up to what's higher within him, and the girl who's 13 can continue to grow and develop in the context of a secure relationship with both parents. Sounds to me like there's just too much acrimony here. Mm. And she's inevitably going to feel unloved and unappreciated by Dad. That will drive her closer to Mom. That's another wedge. That can cause Dad to feel even more resentment. She doesn't like me. She always goes to you, etc., which is part and parcel of some of the relationships, gender-based, daughters to Mom. There's things they can talk about that they can't talk about with their... It doesn't always work that way. Boys can be very close to mummies, too. But this is not a good scenario. It's not a recipe for a healthy family life. I'm sure it's causing, as we know already, consternation for Mom here, who is looking on Dad as not being the best he can possibly be. That will cause resentment in their relationship.
Yeah.
The stakes are high.
Yeah. I can't help but wonder, is there, because, she's a 13-year-old now, And it probably wasn't too long ago she looked at her daddy like he was a god and he knew everything. And then it almost seems overnight it turns into, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And, you know, they mightn't say it explicitly, but you can see it in their face because suddenly you're not the most influential person in their life. It's the other teenagers in their life are probably more influential than you, than you'll ever be, and that's not going to come back.
It calls to mind that wonderful quote, we've mentioned it before, from Mark Twain. You know, when I was 16, I was appalled at how stupid my father was. And by the time I turned 21, I was stunned by how much he had learned in the last 5 years. There's just so much truth to that.
Yeah.
I think we need to have to be very mindful of the psychological movement of adolescence, apart from the physical changes and the fact that mood swings and drama, male and female, are to be expected and largely metabolically based. There is also the psychological movement. I now want to become the tree that stands before the forest of the family. I'm an I. I'm not a we anymore. Mm. I'm independent. And that's where we see a lot of movement among adolescents against traditional family values. You know, religion is just another fairy tale and a myth. I don't believe in God. School is stupid. Politics is useless. There's no point in voting, etc. And you see them just swing so far away from what you thought were your core family values. The good news is, by the mid to late 20s at the latest, the pendulum has swung back and they're pretty much mainstream according to how they were reared in the family atmosphere and the environment and core family values. But adolescence is that terribly difficult period of life. We see our toddlers stumble and fall when they're trying to walk. We forget that our teenagers are stumbling and falling all the time too, but we can't see it with our eyes.
Mm.
We hear it mostly with our ears and we misinterpret it. And we think of it as cheeky, being messy, being deliberately defiant, etc. It's just their attempt to grow to adulthood and be recognized as, I'm just me. And of course, what do? But latch on to various peer reference groups.
Yeah.
And those loom to be hugely important, much more important than parents. And how does that play itself out? I want these particular runners. I want this particular dress. I want to go to Wes Disco, and I want to wear this very short, skimpy outfit if I'm a girl, or I want to be there if I'm a guy, and I'll try to have a drink or something. And, you know, we, as adults, we don't understand this is normal.
Yeah.
We have to put the bridle of reason on it, of course. We must.
But we can take it, as parents, sometimes we take all this personally, and it's somehow an affront to our parenting, that because they're not kind of lumps of clay that we can mold to our specifications.
I'm glad you said that, because it's a metaphor I like to use a lot, that our children are not lumps of clay to be molded into what we think their potential is. Now, today, of course, we see flashed on the news headlines that, 13 students achieved perfect points on their Leaving Cert. Who cares? In the life of a human being, that means nothing. But we set up these sort of iconic demarcations for what transitions in childhood and adolescence and on into adulthood ought to be, and they're false.
Mm.
And, you know, the child is not the jewel in the family crown. The child is not the corrosion in the family crown. They're your children, given to you for a very particular reason, I think, because only you and the family that you constitute for them provides the fertile soil that they can put their taproot into and grow to become what they will become. And we can't take all the credit nor all the blame for it as parents.
Yeah.
We just can't. So, Dad, please settle down. Take a deep breath. You've got a 13-year-old daughter. Will you take her, look her in the eye and say, honey, I love you. Sometimes you drive me mad, but I love you so much. Give her a kiss on the forehead and walk away. You'll stun her into silence.
Yeah. Now get out of your room. just as you're walking away. My son is 11 and has a problem with food in that he says he's always hungry. He's just insatiable. He has huge portions. He's always chewing on something. He doesn't care what he eats. He once sat down and ate his way through a full sliced pan while watching telly. I couldn't believe it when I discovered what he'd done. To be fair, he eats just as much healthy food as bad food, but the sheer volume is worrying. He never stops eating. Thankfully, I have him involved in loads of sports, so he runs off what he eats. But as he gets older, I worry he won't be as active, and then he'll pile on the weight. I try to limit his access to food, but I'm worried he'll start secret eating, which I feel is even worse. I just don't know how to be addressing this.
This is an interesting query, because immediately I wonder, is the boy healthy, first of all? Does he look good? Is he active? How's his work in school going, et cetera? Are there any warning signs of possible danger or whatnot? You might want to have a touch base with the GP here. His diet is mostly healthy. Let's increase that by making sure that what's freely available in the larders of the family home are healthy options. Mm. So if he's going to be constantly eating, let's make sure he's munching on fruits and nuts and proper healthy cereals and healthy snacks, etc., as opposed to going to the crisp basket and the chocolate larder, etc. So some common sense measures in terms of not harassing him and giving him lectures about what's nutritious and proper eating, because he'll only rebel against that probably, but just making sure that the availability of what's there is healthy options. If he's not gaining a lot of weight, don't borrow trouble from the future. He's 11 and he looks very healthy. You have him involved in sports. The best predictor of future involvement in athletic and sports activities is involvement in childhood. Mm. Obviously, he has an interest in these things or he'd be rebelling against them. So it's very likely that he will continue on with them well into adult life. So you've already managed to set a very good foundation, I think, for this young fellow. And apart from the fact that he's eating a lot and constantly, let me ask you this, Mom or Dad or whoever sent this in. Is he hoarding food? Are you finding foods hidden away in the bedroom, under the bed, behind the presses, etc.? Take a check of the bedroom and see, because if he's not hoarding, then it just means he's hungry, and I don't think it necessarily represents a health problem.
Yeah.
At this stage.
He could be just going through a massive growth spurt.
Yeah, could be.
There was a few people texting and suggesting that maybe he has worms. Which I suppose is a possibility as well. It's not.
Well, I suppose
it's not
so.
Uncommon.
Yeah. Just wait till you have to ask him for a stool sample and see how that works out.
That's
going to
be that's going to be a fun conversation to have. My 6-year-old son has developed a couple of tics, mainly constantly saying "excuse me" and smelling his hands a lot. He's a happy chap, but I don't know if it's from worrying. What do you think?
I don't think you need to be concerned about it. We've covered this lots of times. About 20 to 25% of all children, particularly in the age range of 6 to 8, develop tics. Mm. And they are not a sign of any kind of neurological illness or disease process whatsoever. Often they're just transient tics. They go away, sometimes in weeks, months, maybe a year. Make no attention to them. Do not call them a bad habit. That can just reinforce it. Can they be caused by anxiety? Yeah, of course. And there can be a method of self-soothing. We need to know more about it. When do they emerge? Under what circumstances? How often, etc.? You might want to keep a little observational log on it without making it too intrusive. But I don't think there's anything to be concerned about in a 6-year-old who has a couple of tics. It's quite common, and more likely than not, they will just go away. They'll just disappear.
Yeah, and as you've often said, that's the case, and in most cases they do. Right, we do have to take a commercial break. Coming up next, a 15-year-old who was going out with her brother's best friend. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Going back to the 13-year-old who's not getting on with her dad. Ed says he needs to cop himself on. He's acting like the teenager. Sounds like she's married to a child, says Ed. Well, it might be a bit harsh, but you know, certainly in my own experience, you do come across that quite a lot, where dads find it difficult, where suddenly the little girl is suddenly an adult and answering back. Kathy says maybe he needs a break from her. The wife should take him off for the weekend. Everyone needs to clear the head. And just in relation to the question, I'm just going to read out now. Ellen Mead says, I married my brother's best friend 16 years ago. I don't think my brother has ever fully forgiven me. Here's the question. My 15-year-old has been dating her best friend's brother for almost a year now. In our house, we only allow her and the boyfriend in the living room together, but I've recently found out that when she goes to his house, they are in his room and she has slept over there many times with her best friend. Now, I'm hearing she is sleeping in her boyfriend's bed during these sleepovers. I have talked to his parents, but they insist everything is fine and I just need to relax. Am I overreacting or is this inappropriate for them? Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
It is grossly inappropriate. I wish we knew how old the boyfriend was.
Mm.
So I will assume it's same age.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe a year older.
Yeah. Yeah. You get into dangerous territory if he's 17.
Mm.
Then we're into some
legally
serious,
very dubious, yeah.
Troubled waters.
Yeah.
You need to take a very strong stand. You are the parent. This girl, 15, is your responsibility. You and your parenting partner, if you have one, must draw a line in the sand. You must tell those other set of parents who are grossly inappropriate in their thinking about this situation that your daughter will not be allowed into their family home under any circumstances, and that the boy is more than welcome to visit her in your family home. And those visits will take place in the living room if you must hire armed security guards to see that it happens. You've got a real problem on your hands here. You have an opportunity now, parents, to either step up to the mark and become parents and do your job, or abdicate responsibility, in which case you've lost your parenting position forever.
Mm.
So get a grip. Take charge. These conjugal visits overnight in the same bed between 15-year-olds are grossly inappropriate, not to be allowed, not to be encouraged. And I have to have a lot of questions about that other set of parents.
Yeah, that's the astounding thing about it, isn't it? That they say, relax, there's nothing to worry about.
Well, that's madness, for God's sakes.
The thing is, though, you know, it doesn't necessarily always have to be as extreme as this, but it's a thing parents deal with all the time with other parents. And, you know, there's slightly different set of standards and rules. And, you know, you can come across parents who just, they've reached, they're 15 now, I'll just abandon it. You know, certainly I have come across that. So I've got that very strong impression that they've just gone, you know, I just give up now. You know, let them do whatever they want.
We're not supposed to do that.
No.
We just have to continue being parents. And of course, the role of parenting changes across the lifestyle. One of the built-in difficulties we have is that the words for mom and dad and mommy and daddy and all that don't change across the lifestyle.
Mm.
So we don't have a different linguistic connotation for the changing relationship between mom and dad and their 3-year-old, mom and dad and their 13-year-old, and mom and dad of their presumably sexually active 15-year-old. Now, the sad news here in this entire scenario is that once a young person becomes sexually active, rarely do they turn to abstinence.
Yeah, yeah.
The physiological reward system of sexual activity overpowers reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's likely that she will continue to be sexually active. I think you've really got to provide the appropriate supervision that you can. You're going to have other worries here now. I mean, you can't have him and her visit under your roof all the time.
Yeah, but it also throws up that tricky question of, given what it's quite likely if she's sexually active, she's not going to stop. Is it the responsible thing to do? Because the genie's out of the bottle, for I can't think of a better phrase for this, but that you have to address the issue of contraception to her.
I was just going to come to that.
Mm.
I think it's time to get down to the GP, tee it up for GP beforehand. My daughter is sexually active now. I need for you, good doctor, to please have a talk with her privately about all the various options that inform me of what options you have proposed to her. And she and mom and dad can make a family decision based on the best updated medical advice of what kind of contraception is necessary. Now we get into other really tricky issues here. Is she having unprotected sex? Do we need to have her tested for an STI? If we put her on the pill, will that encourage the boyfriend or others to have unprotected intercourse with her? It gets so difficult, and parents really have a lot of problems getting their head around these things because our own sexual maturity as adults is sometimes lacking.
Yes, yeah, but for teenagers,
I empathize with you very much here, but I strongly order you to step up to the plate here. You are parents. Do your job. No conjugal visits in the other family's home. And back to your issue there, Sean, about they'll always play this card. You know, Robert's mom and dad don't mind if he plays Xbox 4.5 hours a day. I think the best answer to that is a very short one. We're your parents, not Robert's.
But you know, this isn't Xbox, though. You know, I'm astounded that and it sounds like this person has contacted the parents of the boy and expressed their deep concern at this kind of stuff, and the parents have just dismissed that. And you know, you'd think they would respect those views.
You would hope so. I'd stay away from that family as best as I could. But you've got a relationship that's developed. It's a sexual one now. Or at least a very intimate one, if it doesn't involve intercourse. You've got to provide whatever supervision you can provide and hope for the best at times when you can't be there to supervise. But do not let that girl over that other family's home. Full stop.
My teenage son went out with a girl whose parents let them stay in her room all the time. Her mom said, "I trust her. I put an end to the relationship. I wasn't popular for about 2 months." So... 2 months probably was a price worth paying.
Yeah, that's a very good price to pay. And I bet you're very popular now.
Yeah. Is sex at 15 legal anyway in Ireland? I suppose technically it is, but it depends whether they will prosecute or not.
Someone more learned in the law than I would know the answer. I don't think there's any law against it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think technically it depends on the age difference. If there is an age difference,
that much is true,
that can be, as you said yourself, if he's 17. My four-year-old has an awful habit of mixing up words when he talks. So instead of table, he'll say cable. For cool, he'll say tool. Dog is pog, and so on. I know he's at a learning age for all the words he has. The majority are said wrong. He's in Montessori, and the teacher says things are not improving. I've been working with him at home with different word games, but he doesn't seem to hear the difference in what I'm saying to what he's saying. Is he too young to go to a speech therapist? I'm just so worried about him.
No, he's not too young to pursue a speech and language assessment, and that's what you need to do. At age 4, the phonological systems in the human brain are not fully developed yet, but he shouldn't be so consistently mixing up beginning and ending sounds. And you are working with him at home, I would hope anyway, on phonological awareness, that is the sound of letters and the sounds of words, by playing rhyming games and I spy with my little eye and omission of first letter. You know, what's your name? If we don't have the first letter of your name, well, yours is on and mine is Avid. And we can play all kinds of fun games by omitting the first letter, the last letter. And if you've been doing that consistently and he is absolutely not getting it, you need a speech therapist here.
Yeah.
Because next year he'll be in junior infants, and there's going to be far too much emphasis on reading and writing, unfortunately, and spelling, but that's the way we do it. We shouldn't, but we do, and it could cause huge problems for him. So please do find a speech and language therapist. You go through the HSE. You're going to wait a long time. Unfortunately, he'll be six. I think you need to dig into the family coffers here, unfortunately. Send out a little help signal, you know, to granddad and Nana and all that if you can't afford it yourself, and go privately. Really needs to be done.
David, thanks a million for coming in to
us. My pleasure.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie